In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we go after power, search for, or seek power in our lives, we cause trouble. We just heard it in the Gospel text today for the fifth Sunday of Great Lent. James and John. Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And James and John said, will you give us whatever we ask? Like Jesus is a genie, comes out of a bottle. Will you give us whatever we ask? What did they want? Jesus doesn't say to them, no. He says, well, what do you want? Well, we want to be on your left and your right hand in glory. We want to be the ones in authority. We want to be right next to you. We want to be in the in crowd, the special people, the ones who lord it over is the way the Gentiles lord it over. We want to have the power of this world. And what happened? I don't know if you noticed this. I think I've read this gospel text many times before I ever noticed this. The other disciples became disgruntled, is what it says. The desire of James and John to have power, it's not just that it wasn't the right understanding of what power is. Their desire created a kind of competition and disagreement among the community of the disciples. This sort of search for power always does this. This desire, this longing after, this grasping of power always does this. We see it also in the life of St. Mary of Egypt that the Church gives us today. She had a different kind of power. She didn't have political power or material power or maybe, we don't know, but maybe intellectual power or whatever it might be. But she had a power over men. She had a power to seduce, a power to really destroy people's lives. And she spent 17 years of her life doing that. So there are all different kinds of power in this world that we grasp for, we look for, we yearn for. And this type of power almost always leads to destruction, to a kind of enmity that builds up among us, a sort of way of distancing ourselves. This power, as the world understands it, is a power of distance, of weighing over other people, of controlling other people, of manipulating other people. Sure, getting what I want, the world revolving around me, but it's me having the ability to force my will on other people. One of the prayers that we say so frequently in the services of the Church that ends many of the litanies is a remembering, or I think in your translation we say calling to mind, our most holy, pure, most blessed, and glorious Lady, the Theotokos, the one who bore God in her womb, the Theotokos, and all the saints. We remember the birth giver of God, the mother of God, and all of the saints. So today the Church gives us St. Mary of Egypt to remember, to call to mind, to let our minds reflect on. And then this very simple exhortation, really, more than a prayer is an exhortation in remembering the saints, those who bore God in their hearts, we should do something. Let us offer ourselves, one another, in our whole life to Christ our God. And then we say, to thee, O Lord. I want to take a little bit of a look at especially the St. Mary of Egypt's life and then a few other themes from the Gospel along this three-part exhortation that we hear time and again in the services of the Church. Let us offer ourselves, let us offer one another, and let us offer our whole life to Christ our God. When St. Mary of Egypt went from Egypt to Jerusalem to venerate the Holy Cross, she couldn't enter the Church. And it really, she couldn't enter the Church for a very, very simple reason. She had no interest in offering herself. She could have gone in and gone through the motions, been a part of the crowd, the big rush, but it would not have been an offering of herself. It would have been going along with the crowd. It would have been somehow part of her getting what she wanted, but not giving anything up. So God stopped her. The mother of God stopped her. You can't come and do this. We're not going to let you unless you offer yourself. When she couldn't get in, she tried again and again. And this force stopping her from entering, she goes back and then she sees the icon of the Mother of God and she has this conversation. And it's only after she offers herself that she's able to go in and venerate the cross. In the epistle reading, that's a description of our Lord's offering himself instead of the offering of bulls and goats. And often when we read this text from Hebrews, we think of the focus on the bulls and goats are temporary and passing. The Son of God is eternal. This is one of the emphases in the text. The bulls and goats, however perfect they are, they still have blemishes. The text says that Christ was unblemished. This is an important difference. But another important difference is that our Lord didn't offer something else. He offered himself. Just like St. Mary of Egypt had to offer herself. Just like the prayer exhorts us that when we remember the Mother of God and of all the saints, the very first thing we have to do is offer ourselves. However much we move around in the church and move around in the world and we think that we're accomplishing things, we think that we're exerting our will or progressing in one way or another in our lives. In fact, if we haven't offered ourselves, if the beginning of our activity, whatever it might be, isn't the offering of ourselves, then we're really not present to it. We're not truly entering into the sanctuary to venerate the cross. We're doing it on our own. We're keeping a distance. The offering of ourselves is what bridges, crosses that distance. It's what doesn't lord it over other people's, but what it is, as our Lord says, allows us to become the servant of others. A wholly different type of understanding of power in this world. So the very first thing we do is offer ourselves. And St. Mary of Egypt is this beautiful example for us of one who was, by God's grace, not permitted to live her life in self-deception any longer. Not continue to just go about her life doing whatever she wanted. He stopped her, he prevented her and said, no, you have to offer yourself before you can enter through these doors. So this is the first thing. Reflect on the Mother of God and the saints and we offer ourselves. And then it says, then we can offer one another. Here it's really very simple. In our lives, it's very tempting to want to offer other people before we offer ourselves, to volunteer other people before we volunteer ourselves. Maybe so-and-so can do that. I don't understand why so-and-so doesn't do this, and whatever it is. It's very easy to want other people to see what. Other people have lots of time. I'm the only one who doesn't have a lot of time. You know, other people are very smart. I'm the only one who's not really capable of doing these things. Whatever it is, we find ways and explanations to think that other people should be doing our work. This is a sort of a total misconception of what's going on. And we can do it in a sort of very pious way. We can't truly offer anyone else to God until we first have offered ourselves. The Holy Fathers say again and again that we shouldn't say anything as teachers to one another, teaching one another. We shouldn't say anything that we haven't first experienced ourselves. And this is really the principle that goes on in this exhortation, in these prayers. First offer yourself. First allow yourself to experience this different type of power. Not a power of this world, but a power that comes to invade and clean up our lives. And then we're free to offer other people. And we can offer them in the right ways, not a way that's manipulative, not a way that is controlling, not a way that is self-serving, but we can truly offer them as a free will. Lord, do with them whatever you want. We can offer our children, our spouses, our priests, our parishioners. We can offer all of those people that God puts in our lives that we don't even know. People that we see in the stores and on the streets. Sometimes you're going through a checkout line in the store and you can tell this is just not a good day for the person who's checking you out. And instead of reacting in some way and thinking that they should sort of buck up and do their job properly, you can say, Lord, help them. I don't know why they're hurting. But I want to offer them to you because I know, I've experienced your healing. I've been grumpy. I've been short and unresponsive to people in my life. Only you can provide the healing. So we can offer other people to God. We can offer one another to God once we've made that offering of ourselves. How did this manifest itself in St. Mary's life? I think there's a very short but and concise but powerful expression of how St. Mary offered one another, others, to God. It's an interesting question because, as I imagine you know the story, after she went and venerated the cross and went to cross the Jordan, went out into the desert for 47 years, she didn't see anybody. When Zosimus came and saw her, she said, you're the first person I've seen since I crossed the Jordan River. So in what sense was she able to offer other people when she never even saw anyone else? Well, I think the indication is in this. What are the questions that she asked Zosimus? What did she say to him? Do you remember? What are the words that she said? How does it fare with the churches? How does it fare with the churches? 47 years all alone. 17 years she lived in complete wretched lifestyle, destroying her life and breaking other people down with her. And for 17 years she said she had to struggle in this desert to be cleansed from that. And when God cleansed her from those passions and desires and thoughts, she was able to spend the next, whatever it was, 3 decades, offering the church to God for 30 years. She could freely and without distraction from all of this mental chaos and self-talk that we have in our heads, she was able to care about the churches. And so that when she saw a person coming, this is what she asked. This is what she cared about. This is what was on her mind. She didn't ask about the weather. She didn't ask about the political situation. How do the churches fare? So I think there's this very beautiful example from the life of St. Mary of Egypt that we carry the church in our hearts. We offer the church to God by carrying it in our hearts. Wanting it to be God is the one who molds and shapes and draws these people into his presence. It's not us by our cleverness. And then finally, we offer our whole life, or all our life, I think, in your translation, to Christ our God. Here I simply want to point out that it's our whole life, singular, not our whole lives, plural. We have a common life. We offer ourselves. We offer one another. And in doing that, this offering of one another that can only take place after offering ourselves, we come to experience that we have a common life. We don't simply have a bunch of lives. There's so many images in Scripture of this, you know, a loaf of bread that will become the lamb was once a whole bunch of different little grains of wheat. But now it's a single bread, and the grains are indiscernible, one from another. But they're united in such a beautiful way. That's a common life. So how do we offer our common life? How do we offer this one common life to God? Well, very simply, we do it the way that St. Mary did. After 47 years, what is the one thing she wanted? Not the one question she asked, but the one thing she wanted. Zosimus, bring me steak and fries. I'm starving. No. Zosimus, come back next year and bring me the body and blood of Christ. Body and blood of Christ. This is the one thing I yearn for. This is the one thing I want. This is our common life. A little bit later in this service, we'll partake of the body and blood of Christ. This is our common life. Our common life is not a life that is focused on some ideology, some good movement, some great idea, some social program. There are very many, very, very, very many good things that we can do with our lives. But if any one of them becomes the focus around which we unite people, then we're united around a thing, an idea, a goal, a program, a plan. And that will always bring death. In fact, that also was in the epistle. Blood and bowls and goats cannot clean us from dead works. So long as our efforts, however good intentioned and strenuous and continuous they might be, are directed toward ideas and plans and movements and programs, they'll end up being dead works. The only person who gives life is Christ. And so we offer ourselves, first and foremost, we offer one another to God, not for us to manipulate and control, even in our best intentions, because we think we know best, but we offer them, each other, to God. And then, by that profound experience of offering one another to God, we come to experience that it's a common life that we share, woven together into a seamless garment, one that can't be ripped, can't be rent in two. And we experience that most fully and most beautifully when we partake of the body and blood of Christ. By the prayers of St. Mary of Egypt, may the Lord grant us the intensity of desire that she had to venerate the cross, to go out into the deserted place. That's what a desert is, a deserted place. You can go into your closet, your prayer corner, be in a deserted place, so that she might be transformed and so learn how to offer the church to Christ, and then come to yearn with a yearning that's really inexpressible for the body and blood of Christ, for this common life. To you, O Christ. Amen.